When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Grand Bigs.
Bigs time.
Bigs.
With Mully and Haw.
Bigs time.
The Bigs Report with Brad Biggs.
Bigs time.
Bigsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Brad Biggs is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to the station and a valued friend. And like all guests, he joins us. He's brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, Aturo.com. Big day.
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, you know, we had a very interesting conversation today, and David pointed out that really Shane Waldron is something of kind of a criminal genius, maybe maybe a mad scientist, can I use the term, where he wants to keep alive the possibility that they're going to run the ball or they're going to throw the ball or they're going to have Doug Kramer throw the ball. So he has to pretend like they do that again in order to keep alive his blocking fullback in short yardage deal. And that's why he repeated, he kind of doubled down on the idea that he'd do it again.
Boy, I'll tell you what. We've litigated the hell out of Sunday's game.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's
Molly's like, making things up there, Brad. I didn't say any of that.
You said it something that led me to that.
It gets exhausting. Like, I heard that from someone like, well, they have to say they do it again because they need to have the threat of him carrying the ball. He's close to 300 pounds. If he's coming downhill at a linebacker, it doesn't matter whether the linebacker thinks he could get the ball or not. He's probably going to be able to execute the block, but the Bears would do it all over again. And whatever they choose to do against the Cardinals this Sunday is more effective, because what they can't have happen, they can't finish unpacking their bags from the trip to Washington and discover two losses in there. They need right. to just have the one loss that they got, and they've got to get back on track. Like, there's just too much talent in the NFC North right now to create the kind of hole for yourself that's going to be really difficult to get out of. Can you imagine being there near the end and saying, well, if the Bears win the final three and so-and-so loses all of its games, they're in. Like, then you're in, like, fantasy land then, right?
I hear you, Brad, and the fatigue is obvious. We're all tired of it. But let me say this. The Bears waiting until Thursday to make their coordinators available prolongs the process.
That's every team in the league, Dave. I hear you. I agree completely. And it's difficult, because when good things and bad things happen in a Sunday game, it's a long wait to get there. Yeah, but that's what pretty much most team does these days in terms of their schedule.
So if you have the extra time, then why in the world would Shane Waldron, would any professional offensive coordinator then get behind the microphone and double down on one of the dumbest decisions that you could have made in real time?
I don't know. that's a great question. I don't. Maybe Mully's got the explanation that they want, and that they want future opponents to fear Doug getting the ball. But it's just it's a lot.
And it's a lot. It's a lot.
This has been a massive violation of the 24-hour rule, right?
Yeah.
Where they, you know, 24 hours after the game's over, they're moved on to the next one. No question about that. And they're not good enough to go out to Arizona without full focus on the Cardinals and get that done, right? Like, Arizona's competitive. Arizona's 4-4. Like, they're not going to just go out there and roll over the Arizona Cardinals because the Bears are in town. They need to be dialed in.
You know, you're making me try to get your pick because I want to know if they're dialed in. I think, Brad, I saw a thing from Pro Football Focus that said basically that if the Bears win the game, they are 71% likely to make the playoffs. If they lose, those percentages drop to 44. It's a huge turn of season game, right? You're coming off a really bad, I mean, awful way to lose, and now you're going on the road again. We know those records. What do you think about this just in terms of their season? How big a moment is this, and are they healthy enough to get it done?
Yeah, that last part, which we probably need to spend a little more time on, is probably the big one here, right? Is the health. I'm surprised that any model would have their playoff chances in the neighborhood of 70% with a win this week. That seems high to me. But you're bound to get a loss for either Detroit or Green Bay this week because they play each other at Lambeau Field, barring a tie, of course. So that's a positive. But that 70% seems mighty high to me. Now, the 40%, the flip side, if they lose, heck, that even seems a little inflated to me just because of what's gone on in the division so far. But a huge swing being between a win and a loss, I understand that completely, especially with this being an NFC game. And they squandered the one against an NFC opponent last week. The health's the big thing here.
Yeah.
Like, are they going to be okay up front? And what are they going to look like in terms of protecting the quarterback, Caleb Williams?
They didn't do it last week, right? And I would imagine that you're going to see the same kind of pressure on the kid that you saw really in the Houston game and last week. I think that the book is you go after them, try to defend the middle of the field. I'm sure they're going to try to do that. I just wonder, can they? And that comes back to the offensive line. And Brad, I made the point to David, I don't know if you agree with this, but I think if Sweat is able to play, that the drop-off from Sweat to the guy behind him is so vast, it's a real problem. He remains the multiplier. I don't know if the drop-off is that vast on the offensive line. I think that there is a hierarchy, but I don't know
it's
falling. You think it's more than Sweat?
I think.
Wow.
I don't know. I mean, they're both equal, but perhaps. But the offensive line is already bad. The defensive line has at least players that you can trust. I don't know. That's a good debate. What do you think, Brad?
I mean, they don't have a high tier player on the offensive line right now, like they do on the defensive line. So I think if you're just talking individual drop off, I'd say with Sweat, if that's, you know, kind of what you're trying to look at there, but. I think Sweat will go, right? He was limited yesterday.
Yeah.
The coach was optimistic about him earlier in the week. And, he's a guy that's been playing through some stuff. Remember, he had an elbow injury that cost him some time there in training camp and in preseason a little bit that I think probably lingered into the season a little bit for him. And now he's got the shin. So, you know, for good luck finding a guy that doesn't have something at this point in the season, but I think he's probably dealing with a couple things, and I would I'd be a little surprised if he's not ready to go, just based on what I've heard.
So Tyrik Stevenson probably just dealing with a bruised ego, but our guy Dan Wiederer reports that, it tweets this out, from what I understand, it will not be a surprise if Tyrik Stevenson doesn't start in Arizona. Brad, if that's the case, how big is the drop-off between Tyrik Stevenson and his replacement, whether it's Terrell Smith, is it Jalen Jones? And also, as a follow-up, how long do you think that Tyrik Stevenson would be punished if he is indeed is?
Well, I think you look at what the replacement does. If, let's assume Terrell Smith is the guy. You know, how does he play? Does he get a pick? Like, you know, that's big. It's a big opportunity for him. I wouldn't, pass defense is 11 guys. Terrell Smith in there for Tyrik Stevenson. I don't think we're really talking about a big drop-off, right? He's not going to be on an island by himself in very many occasions. So he's a guy they trust and they've liked. I'd be curious to see, what he does with his opportunity, assuming he gets one on Sunday.
Who did you pick?
This was tough because of the offensive line. Like, what's it going to look like? Do they keep Matt Pryor at right guard? Because what have we heard him talk about a little bit is the pocket being firm, right?
Yep.
And then the idea that if you need a replacement for Braxton Jones, then you've got multiple moving parts, right, to fill one spot. So maybe Pryor stays at right guard and Borum's in at left tackle. Is there an outside chance they activate Ryan Bates before this game? That would be something. They do have an open 53-man spot that'll be filled before the game, I assume by Borum. But this was difficult for me to pick because I think coming off a loss like they had last week, that there will be renewed or heightened focus. The kind of thing that if you're the Cardinals, you really don't want the Bears going through a game like that because you know that they're going to really be on top of stuff this week. And so from that standpoint, them being dialed in, I'm like, okay, well, I feel decent picking the Bears this week. But uncertainty about the offensive line, the realization that this team has found just about every way imaginable to lose road games, it has been a struggle for me. But I think if you just go through an exercise of stacking the rosters up against each other, I think the Bears have a better team. They ought to be half desperate. So I picked the Bears to win 20-17. Low level of faith in the selection, guys.
They had a better roster than the Washington Commanders, too, right?
Yeah, I would say so. And they had a 3-point loss.
Yeah.
Like, just because you have a better roster doesn't mean that's why they play the games. And through three quarters, they had no business winning that game in Washington, which that's the thing that's been just consistently lost in the litigation is that Caleb was not good for three quarters. And you can talk about pressure and the offensive line. Like, he flat out really missed some throws, okay?
Right.
But when the game was on the line, he showed some moxie. He made some plays over and over again and put them in position to win the game. That, again, through 45 minutes of football, they had no business winning that football game. And that's the real shame of it, that had they pulled that game out, maybe some of the corners that Cole Kmet alluded to being, trimmed here and there, maybe they're still doing that stuff. So in a crazy way, maybe it helped them out. Like, that you can continue to overlook certain things if you are winning. In the fallout from a loss, there's no more overlooking some of these things.
Why can't they win on the road?
I don't know. Like the last road Sunday win was in Seattle when Nick Foles was their quarterback.
2021, December 26th.
Yeah, that's a road win on a Seattle with Nick Foles at quarterback
It's Boxing Day. Yeah. That was a long time ago.
I know, and it's really difficult to do anything in the NFL if you're struggling to win on Sundays.
So, Brad, right? I know I don't want to raise your ire by bringing this play up again, but do you think that on third and goal, short yardage situations in the red zone, that you'll see Doug Kramer line up at fullback at any point on Sunday?
I mean, if we're talking third and less than a yard, why not? Like, look at their success rate with that play this season prior to the fumbled handoff. Like, why wouldn't you? It's worked. It's not like the previous times it worked, those teams were like, oh, hey, we really got to worry about the dive here. Watch the fullback, Like, why wouldn't you?
This segment with Brad Biggs is sponsored by Est Wing Professional Tools, made in the USA for 100 years, estwing.com. I am curious, Brad, when you think about Caleb Williams and playing in Washington, and, it didn't mean anything to him, but he was sailing some balls early. I'm not saying he was nervous or excited or whatever, but how do you expect him to play on the road in Arizona? It's Pac-10 country.
Yeah, I just hope they have got some stuff that's going to put them in a good spot early. Like, they need to start faster. Does that necessarily mean go downfield and score on your opening possession? No, it doesn't. That would be great. But how about get a couple first downs so when you punt, you're pinning them inside the 15, and then maybe when you get the ball back after your defense does its job, you're setting up shop in midfield, and it's just been such a struggle. So maybe he has to take some stuff on the call sheet that normally you're holding back for a little bit later in the game, and you're getting that going early, stuff you feel highly confident in, that the players feel confident in, to get a little momentum and production early in the football game.
Which quarterback do you think has a bigger impact on Sunday's game, Kyler Murray or Caleb Williams?
Well, I think Caleb's got a chance. Like, just look at the Arizona defense. Like, yeah. Dead last in the league is on third down. They're giving up opponents are connecting on more than 52% of third downs. They're not good against the pass, guys. The Arizona Cardinals bottom eight, maybe 26th in the league against the pass, 26th in the league against the run. The sacks per pass attempt, they're 27th in the league. So I'm just, you go across the board, some of these statistics, and there's nothing for the Bears to fear, but again, what's your level of belief in the offensive line situation, and then can the Bears slay the dragon, which is a road trip, right? That's what that's become for them.
Thank you, Brad. Appreciate it, buddy.
Safe travels, Brad.
Yeah, have a good trip.
Have a great weekend, guys.
That's our guy, Brad Biggs, the football man from the Chicago Tribune. You're listening to Mully and Haw on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.